Abbott, Arkansas. This is Shepherd's Chapel with Pastor Arnold Murray. Join with us now as Pastor Murray takes you on a book by book, chapter by chapter, line by line, study in God's Word. Now, here's Pastor Murray.
All right, good day to you. God bless you. Welcome to the Shepherd's Temple. Hey, welcome to this family Bible study hour. We're ready to get back into our Father's Word. I enjoy doing these subjects. Strong delusion, this being the second half of that lecture. Would God send strong delusion? The answer, as we discovered in the last lecture, yes. Not only would he has. And we learned the cause, because people would not study his word. They would rather listen to the traditions of men. We're going to continue that. I want to drop back to the last verse we covered in the New Testament. Two times we learned in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that certainly, because people would not adhere to the warning that the spurious Messiah would sit in Jerusalem claiming to be Christ or God, that because people would not understand the word or would be confused by traditions or teachings of men, he would send strong delusion that they would believe the lie. Thus, Christ himself becomes the stumbling block for those that are not attuned or familiar with his word. Then we learn in Romans chapter 11 that God sent the spirit of stupor or slumber in the English upon certain people that refuse to study his word, to understand his word. I want to, in as much as we've covered both of those coverings in the New Testament, I want to go to that 11th chapter of Romans, verse 8. Let's reread it. Listen to it. According as it is written. What does that always mean? You've heard me say it many times. It's the Old Testament. It's written there. It was foretold of long ago. It's nothing new. God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. So again, there's nothing new under the sun. It's just that people forget to listen to God speak to them through his word, whereby he forewarns us. Now we're going to go to the Old Testament, and we're going to cover this in the Old Testament, whereby we know and understand that there's not that much difference between the old and new, aside from salvation itself and the price paid thereof by Christ himself, the fulfilling of the old. Isaiah chapter 29 is what Paul was speaking of when he says it's written. This is where it's written. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 1, a word of wisdom from our Father, it reads, woe. Now understand, this is a woe chapter. That means warning to you, or woe to those that this would apply to in a negative sense. Woe to Ariel, two times for emphasis. The city where David dwelt. Ariel means, it can be translated the hearth of God, which is to say the altar of God, or the lion of God. Where's God's favorite place, and what city did David dwell in? In other words, it's sort of an acrostic. You that have companion Bibles, you will have in the side column the explanation of this. In other words, naturally, we're talking about the city of Jerusalem and things that are transpiring there. Ariel is it means lion. You observe that in the Bat Creek translation, which we translated for you. You also could find that on the Moabite stone, and I believe it's line 12, you find Hariel, which means that was an old Egyptian way of saying Jerusalem or Zion, Mount Zion. Okay, enough on that. Where David dwelt, add ye year to year and let them kill sacrifices. In other words, year in, year out, over and over, you continue doing the same thing, making offerings to me too. Yet I will distress Ariel, and there shall be heaviness and sorrow, and it shall be unto me as Ariel, the hearth of God. Ariel here meaning definitely the altar of God. Where, O Mount Zion, where was the spurious Messiah in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 going to stand? In the temple of God, claiming to be God. We're talking about the same geographical location. They are identical. In other words, he has given you that location. And what has he said? Woe. Woe unto it. Verse 3. And I will camp against thee round about, and will lay siege against thee with a mount. That means with power. An engine, you might say. War material. And I will raise forts against thee. Well, now wait just a minute. Why would God say it? That's like Christ saying, when they would come up and say, I've healed in your name. And he would say, get away from me. I never knew you. This is like God saying, you give me offerings year in and year out, but I'm going to camp against you. That means, what kind of camp? A military camp. It means using force against you. And quite frankly, spiritually, God doesn't need a camp. With God being against you, that's quite sufficient. So, those that are doing something that seems to be very religious on Mount Zion, God's not happy with. I would insert in your mind from the New Testament that with the spurious Messiah, the son of perdition, standing at the altar of God, claiming to be God, and people really sacrificing to him, that mean, by that I mean their love, their lives, their souls, naturally God's not happy about it. And naturally he's going to encamp against it. Verse 4. And thou shalt be brought down, and shall speak out of the ground. Listen closely. And thy speech shall be low out of the dust. And thy voice shall be as of one that hath a familiar spirit. You know what a familiar spirit is? That's an evil spirit. Out of the ground, and thy speech shall whisper. That's to peep or twitter out of the dust. Do you know why? How could God make it any clearer? What is it that is to crawl on his belly in the dust all the days of his life? A figure of speech from the great book of Genesis, chapter 3, stipulating that Satan would always be a lowlife, or I might modernize it clear up to this time, lower in a snake's belly. And those that accept and receive his spirit as Messiah will be possessed, if you would, consumed by an evil spirit. Why? Because God had sent strong delusion upon them that they would believe the lie. The strong delusion is what? Allowing a supernatural entity to walk upon this earth in the sight of men, performing miracles, and men are not equipped for that. Naturally, they're going to bow and scrape before him and get lower than he is when he's already lower in a snake's belly. Excuse the colloquialism, but that gets it said, all right? Verse 5. Moreover, the multitude of the strangers, that's to say the peoples of the world, shall be like small dust. Like small dust is what? It's blowing dust. And the multitude of the terrible ones shall be as chaff that passeth away. Yea, it shall be at an instant suddenly. In other words, the woe back in verse 1. God's not happy about that situation of the son of perdition standing in a holy place. But what makes him more unhappy is that the multitude of his children paying homage to him, loving him, thinking he is Christ. Why? Because they have not studied the chronological order of events that consummates the end of this age. Verse 6. Thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder and with earthquake and great noise, with storm and tempest and the flame of devouring fire. And of course, as it is written, I'll take the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 12, last verse. God is a consuming fire. He's not happy. This is the day you observed the first tribulation in Mark chapter 13, and then you observed the second tribulation. He's talking here about the second tribulation when the true Messiah appears on the scene and destroys Satan's camp that he sets up as the synagogue of Satan, verse 7. And the multitude of all the nations that fight against Ariel, that's to say the Lion of God, even all that fight against her and her munition, and that distress her, shall be as a dream of a night vision. Do you know what that is? Have you ever had a nightmare? When this event takes place, all those that talk against the true teachers of God's word, the true performers of God's word, that is to say God's elect, that have attempted to wake up those that would love their Father enough that they would care about His word over the traditions of men, those that come against those people will be severely punished, and they're going to wake up like it was a bad dream. Verse 8. It shall even be as when an hungry man dreameth, and behold, he eateth, but he awaketh, and his soul is empty. Have you ever dreamed you had a big salad or something you really enjoy in front of you, and it didn't fill you at all? That's what he's talking about. Or as when a thirsty man dreameth, and behold, he drinketh, but he awaketh, and behold, he's faint, and his soul hath appetite. So shall the multitude of all the nations be that fight against Mount Zion, that is to say the true throne of God, Ariel, the hearth and altar of God, which is what his word, all things were nailed to the cross and Christ became those things, those that fight against Christ and those that serve him. Mount Zion, of course, being God's favorite place, as he made an eternal, not just a short term, but an eternal contract or covenant, better said, with Mount Zion. And certainly Satan coming there and setting himself up as God is a violation to the deepest degree that one could do, to insult our Father. He won't take it, friend. What, and you note that he's saying the multitudes, all the world will wonder after that religious system. Verse 9, stay yourselves, get a grip on yourself. Stay yourself and wonder, cry ye out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. In other words, they're in a stupor. They dream and play church and want to be fulfilled by God. And it's just like someone dreaming about eating a hamburger when they're starving to death, or drinking a big, huge, ice, glassy pitcher of water when they're dying of thirst, and it never fills them. So it is those that would play church and have nothing but the traditions of men, because God is not going to bless the people right into their heart where they are fed with food, with meat, not milk, meat. That's why when God when Christ would raise the 12-year-old damsel from her deathbed, did he say, give her meat? No. Did he say, give her milk? No. He said, give her meat. Something that'll stick with her. The meat of God's word. And so it is written in Amos chapter 8. The famine in the end times is not for bread, but for hearing the word of God. And of course, that's hearing it with understanding. They play church. If you have a good church, and there are many good churches, You better thank God for the congregation and the teachers. This verse 9 could even be put a little different way. Stupefy yourself to be stupid. Those that are biblically illiterate, quite frankly, are. Verse 10. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep. Strong delusion. Who poured it out? The Lord poured it out. And hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered. In other words, he sent the spirit of slumber upon them. He sent strong delusion because they would involve themselves in the business of the organization rather than teaching God's word as it is written, and teaching it in such a way that the scriptures came to life before the people, whereby they could enjoy the presence of the living God, that he might comfort them in troublesome times when others would tremble with fear. They could make a stand and stay themselves against any force, knowing we have power over all our enemies. God has declared it. But when God blinds the eyes of those that are supposed to be teaching, that sends the strong delusion. Something that is so simple as the simplicity in which Christ taught, they just can't quite get it. Verse 11, and the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed. This book sealed, whereby they cannot understand it. Which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. I wonder how many of you have ever gone to one you might call a teacher and say, explain the book of Revelations to me. I can't. I can't explain the book of Revelation to you. It is sealed. This has come to pass. Or, inasmuch as they don't understand it, they say, don't worry about it. You don't have to worry about Revelation because you're going to be gone. I'll tell you where you're going to be gone to. You're going to be gone into this camp of the spurious Messiah when he says, I've come to rapture everyone away. Rather than the true Christ. God himself sends the spirit of slumber as a deep sleep, whereby people, it has come to pass. I know you have heard people say, you're not supposed to understand that part of the Bible. When, bless your hearts, listen to me. The very word revelation, in any language you wish to say it, the very word itself means to uncover or reveal, and some liar would say it's sealed. Now, who do you believe, your father or men? You see, as Paul would say in Romans 11, it's written that this was going to happen. Verse 12, and the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned. In other words, impasse. Why? God has sent the spirit of deep sleep. The word of God is so simple that children can understand it when they're not blinded. But if someone is spiritually blinded, there is no way that you can open those eyes, pry them open, or anything else, whereby they can receive the blessed assurance. Verse 13, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, they like to talk about God and salvation in Jesus, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, that's to say their mind, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Do you know what the precept of men? Traditions. the traditions of men rather than the Word of God, the church system. This is the way we do it. We've done it this way for 400 years. This is the way the founding fathers of the church said we should do it. The big question is, does God's Word say you should do it? That's the way people get lost in and become religionist rather than children of the living God. Verse 14. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people. Listen carefully. Even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hidden from the wise man, he that would try to dig. They're going to be fooled, in other words. But you're not, beloved, because you understand and have eyes to see. That's a blessed gift. Don't ever take it for granted. Thank Him for it. Get ready. That was a woe to those that would not understand the prophecies concerning the altar of God, the city of David, Yerushalayim. 15. Another woe. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. And they say, who seeth us? And who knoweth us? This has to do with political. The politics done in back rooms are politicians lying to the people they represent. This was the political heads of the nation at this time, tricking the people. They're too dumb. They'd never understand what we were doing to them. We can lie to them this day and change it the next, and they'll never know the difference. Well, bless your hearts. Look around you. We have been in a war, a cold war, against socialism and communism for most of your lives. And all of a sudden now we have workers into the night that try to hide the fact by various titles, and they try to pawn socialism upon you, where many men have shed their life's blood to keep this a free nation. They don't know what we're doing. And then people would talk about the Christian right. Well, Christ always said fish out of the right side of the boat. And that is common sense. Never let some liberal socialist track you off track. Steer a straight course. God said it would happen long ago. I certainly didn't believe the people could be fooled so easily. Verse 16. Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. In other words, what God is saying, you're trying to hide it, but do you think you can get away with it? Because I would remind you and ask you a question, who is the potter? It's God Himself. For shall the work say of Him that made it, He made me not? There is no God? Or shall the thing framed say of Him that framed it, He had no understanding? God didn't know what He was doing. The constitution of this great nation was taken from this Word of God. And you have people working overtime to try to change it. Be careful, friend. Verse 17. Is it not yet a little while? And Lebanon? What does Lebanon mean being translated? White mountain. Or supposed to be pure mountain. Shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest. The wild shall change places with the cultivated places. You know when that transpires. 18. And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity. And out of darkness, the truth will come forward. the simplicity shall seem simple with understanding for all people. 19. The meek, or the persecuted in this case, also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. He's returning. Verse 20. For the terrible one is brought to naught, and the scorner is consumed. And all that watch for iniquity, all that really look for a then, that's emptiness, are cut off. Those that keep awake to pursue that that is evil and to entrap or to hide that that is true. 21. That make a man an offender for a word, and lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate. The gate was a place of judgment. That means those that would judge properly, true teachers of God's word. And turn aside the just, excuse me, for a thing of naught. In other words, turn away the truth for confusion. Would a people actually prefer confusion and not a clear thinking understanding of God's word? Yes. If the high muckety ducks of the most respected religious denomination should say so, they would follow it without ever consulting God's word, because they've been brainwashed that way. There's a saying like, my great grandpa attended this church, and my great 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 grandpa attended it before him, and I'll attend it till I die. Well, if it's a good church teaching God's word, that's wonderful. But I would much rather hear someone say, if the word of God is taught there, I can fellowship. You see, great grandpa, that's traditions. Great grandpa could have been wrong. 22. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, who redeemed Abraham, gave him life, concerning the house of Jacob, Jacob shall not now be ashamed, neither shall his face now wax pale. He's not going to be ashamed. We have the victory. We are over all of our enemies, and we have power over them, and always will have in Christ. That when God looks at what God is saying, when I look upon my children, I'm going to be proud of them. 23. But when he seeth his children, the work of mine hands, in the midst of him, they shall sanctify my name, not Satan's, but Yahweh, the living God, and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and shall fear the God of Israel, not the Antichrist, but the true. 24. They also that erred in spirit, had that familiar spirit we were speaking of that were down in the dust, shall come to understanding, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine, not traditions, but the doctrine of God, meaning they will accept the truth. When is that? First day of the millennium, every knee will bow to Christ, and boy, what a time of teaching that's going to be. Would God send deep sleep upon people? Yes. I like the way the Hebrew reads it. And when they want to stupefy yourself to be stupid, go ahead. That's really what God, that's not my words, and I'm not calling names. The Hebrew is very clear. I guess we can translate it a little different way. If you want to be stupid, God will sure let you. If you want to be biblically illiterate, and if you are, you're stupid. Because anybody that would flirt with losing their eternal soul, I can't think of another name for them, because it would be stupidity. God is a wonderful God to serve. I know many, because of what is taught in some of the houses of ill repute, that you have to walk the close line, you've got to be perfect. Well, the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches that all of our perfection falls far short of our Father's, that even our righteousness is as filthy rags. When some church traditional system will tell you, you must never sin, or you're going to hell, it drives hungry people away from the Word of God, and that's a sin. It is better to teach, yes, we're all sinners and we fall short. Repent and do better. Try to be perfect, but don't kid yourself. God has certainly sent the stupor, and it is very prevalent throughout the world. I'm going to close this lecture with the last chapter of this great book of Isaiah. It is written that God would send the strong delusion, and we can find it in that 66th chapter. I'm only going to read four verses, and we're going to conclude this lecture as far as Scripture is concerned. Would God send strong delusion on His children, our God of love? If you anger Him enough, if you listen to men instead of Him, you bet. Chapter 66, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. I want you to let that sink in. Where is the house that you build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? Notice what the Father says. Hey, you're building a house for me when I created the entire world, and heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool, and you are going to build me a house? I like our Father's emotions. I like the way He puts things. What He's doing is kind of putting you in your place. You got it? His man can't build him a house. He builds his own. And heaven is that house, and earth is his footstool too. For all those things hath mine hand made. You go get a few bricks to build a little house. Hey, I made the soil. And you did it? No, I did it. I'm the potter. That's what he's saying. And all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit. Not a familiar spirit, a crushed spirit. It's not talking about God's spirit or the Holy Spirit. It's talking about man's spirit, crushed meaning humbled, whereby you realize, how could I build a house for he that created all things? For everything I pick up to build him a house has already been. He created it. Got it? He said, humble yourself. Love me. 3. He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. In other words, if you're going to sacrifice it to me, the way I look at it with your frame of mind, is you might as well have committed murder. What's he saying? I don't want it. I won't have it. He that sacrificed a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck, a very unclean animal. He that offereth an oblation to me, meaning to our Father, as if he offered swine's blood, which is very polluted. He that burneth incense, as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways. They won't accept God's ways. They've got to do it the way the church says. I'm not knocking churches. I'm trying to wake you up to the emotions of your Father if you allow religious traditions to come between you and the love of your Father and the ways that please Him not some church that people can't build anyway, because God doesn't need man to build him something. Do you understand? Unless they do it his way, not their own way. Chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. In other words, we're playing church and we're teaching milk and we're going to need our whole congregation to worship the hog, which is to say the devil, the son of perdition, because we don't know any better. The book is sealed, but we'll put on our robes and we'll promise the people it's sealed, but trust God. That's man's talk and that's man's own way. God says it's revealed, it's open for you to partake of and participate within. Then will I love you. And if you do one little ounce of work for him in the right frame of mind, he will bless you and receive your offering with an overflowing abundance. Last verse to close the subject. I also will choose their delusions. And that's strong delusions. And will bring their fears upon them. Boy, talk about nightmares. Because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes and chose that in which I delighted not. Chose to follow the spurious teachings. Can you better understand why Christ, when he was giving the parable concerning those that would run to him after the second tribulation, saying, oh, we had a church and we just cleansed people of demons and we healed in your name, and he said, you get out of my sight. I never knew you. Why? If you're playing church, if you're trying to build a church for God, and you can't realize the fact that heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool, and that it must be done being obedient in his way, putting his word first, then you could understand why, if he considers your offering as swine's blood, why Christ would say, get up, get away. I never knew you. So you see, you can displease God very much with religion, but you can please him by doing it his way. And I know some might say, well, how in the world could I know his way? It's very simple. It's right here. Chapter by chapter. Verse by verse. Line on line. God speaking to you. If you don't listen to him, he will send you strong delusion. And you will, not maybe, will believe the great lie that's already on the horizon. I can see it coming. The son of perdition as Messiah. Would God send strong delusion? Yes. He already has. That has to do with the mind. And when you receive that false impression in your mind, friend, you're already marked. And don't even know it. Rather, be marked with the seal of God, which is to say the word of God in your mind that pleases your Father, and boy, do the blessings flow. All right, bless your hearts. Strong delusion. I hope you've enjoyed it. I enjoyed bringing it to you. Our Father is very pleased when we study his word. Okay, listen a moment, won't you please?
The book of Ezekiel. What a fantastic study, this book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel that covers, if you would, those vehicles, those circular discs. In the Hebrew, it states very clearly that whirlwind with the color amber traced back to the Hebrew highly polished bronze. What an exciting thing that God's Word informs us on all things. Ezekiel, one of my favorite prophets of the Bible, probably more written, not probably, but absolutely more written on what will happen in the millennium age than even the book of Revelation. Ezekiel guiding you through it, what God will expect at the final battle, Armageddon and Hamagog, recorded in this great prophecy. I know you're going to enjoy it, the book of Ezekiel.
Bye, bless your hearts. Let's have the 800 number, if we may, 1-800-643-4645. That number good from Puerto Rico, throughout the U.S., including Alaska, Hawaii, and all over the North Country, Canada. It's always good to hear from you. If the Spirit moves and you have a question, share it, won't you? Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it is so precious having you with us. We thank you for caring about our Father's true word. Now, your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. If you have a prayer request, you don't need a telephone number, you don't need an address. He's your Father. Boy, He loves to hear from you. He really does when you're trying to absorb His Word, whereby He does not have to delude you with a delusion or allow you to become, really in a sense, you see, that's really easy for God to do, is to send strong delusion. All He has to do is leave people alone. But what the delusion actually is allowing a supernatural entity to pretend to be something he's not. And boy, is it going to happen. You're not going to fall for it. But that pleases your Father when you try. Boy, He'll bless you. Let's go to Him. Father, around the world we come at this time. We ask that You lead, guide, direct, prosper, touch, heal in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. Okay, let's get into some questions here real quickly. Forrest from Florida. This is the second call on this. Well, we don't answer all questions, okay? There's no way I can get around to them, but I understand, and that's fine. Mark 16:18. They say, they shall lay hands on the sick. Oh, I'm sorry. That was not Forrest saying this was the second call. This was one of my helpers, one of God's helpers, that let me know. Let's see what it is then. In 16:18 of Mark, which we just finished teaching, they shall lay hands on the sick. What does this verse mean about laying hands on the sick? You didn't finish the verse on it. Well, I apologize for that. James chapter 5 lets us know if somebody gets sick, anoint them with the oil of our people, olive oil, and ask the oil doesn't do it. It's your obedience to God to do that. And ask God for the healing. That's not to say that God will do it as for what's best for everyone concerned. He certainly will. I apologize for missing the last part of that. Walter from California, Isaiah 28:13. They might go and fall backward and be broken, snared and taken. Please explain what this verse means. I really appreciate your teaching, and you've really helped me a lot. Well, I'm glad, Walter. God's Word will always help us a lot. It's ironic how the Holy Spirit works in when a question is asked. Because, see, this really, what we've been talking about today, answers this question. It's very sad that in the language that God's Word was written in, that we cannot, in the English translation, always feel the emotion or the emphasis that the Hebrew makes very clearly. This Isaiah 28, which we were in 29, it was the chapter right before, where God was really, He was ticked. He was angry. Maybe I'd better say it that way. And He said, my word, chapter by chapter, verse, and I'm going to say it in the with the irony that He said it in. My verse, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, precept by precept. But you, from here take a little, and from there take a little, and confuse yourselves, and stumble, and fall backwards in it. Do you want me to explain that further, like what falling backwards in it means? Well, that's what a lot of people do with God's word. Very appropriate. But it was said by our Father with irony. And that's what it means, is people confuse themselves by taking things out of context. I know that's quite different than what many uneducated people teach, but be that as it may, just out here winning friends and influencing people, I'm sorry, but God's word is very clear from the manuscripts. Randy from Virginia, I've gotten in some serious trouble and I want to change my life. What can I do? Well, repent and do it today. Start building upward and doing good rather than messing up. It's that simple. Turn your life over to Him. Repent to Him and tell Him you're sorry, and then ask Him to help you do what's right to solve whatever this serious trouble that you're in. And ask Him to help you in it and change, get in His Word, and His Word will change your life, Randy. Don't wait. Do it today. All right? Let Him know you love Him. Marge from California, I go to prepare a place for you. Where is this place? St. John chapter 14. I made a tape not long ago titled Mansions. I think it would be very helpful to you. It means this word mansions. What is it in the Greek? Mino. It means a resting place, not a fancy big house, but a resting place. And if you continue on, you find that Christ is that resting place. He prepared it. And when you're in Him, you are at rest. That's also one of the meanings of the word Sabbath. And when you're really Sabbathing, you're resting, all right? But it had better be in Christ. That's why in Colossians chapter 2 it says Sabbath is nailed to Him. Why? He became our Sabbath. And you'd better have it forever. Okay, Young from Kentucky. Ezekiel 37, chapter 37, verses 3, 4, and 5. Please explain. This sounds like flesh bodies in the millennium. No, my friend, you're a little bit confused with what Ezekiel 37 is talking about. The millennium chapters do not begin until chapter 40 of Ezekiel. This is 37. What Ezekiel was teaching and what God Brother was teaching in Ezekiel 37 was, he said, look out at the world. It's all it is a bunch of dry bones, meaning that people are spiritually dead. They don't know the truth. They don't know God's word. So how did they begin coming to life? God said, preach to them, prophesy to them. Now take a look. Hey, there's a few of them beginning to move around, meaning they're beginning to see the truth and come to life. The leg bone connected to the knee bone, listen to the word of the Lord. I'll just throw that in, all right? That's what we're doing right now, is letting God's word bring people spiritually alive instead of offering swine's blood. Okay, Jody from California. Will the old Roman Empire be revised in the last days, and will a false prophet rise up from it? Many people teach this. Yeah, and they're liars. Nowhere in God's word does it state this. Very confused people concerning the book of Daniel in their ignorance, and I know I'm offending some, but I'm laying it on you like it is, would state this. When the last lecture we just completed doesn't come from Rome, it comes from Zion. Get into God's word and stop listening to men that would devise plots that would confuse you. Listen to God's word. Mount Zion is the place, not the hills of Rome. Wake up. I don't know how we could make it any clearer. And Jody, get in God's word and stop listening to men and their works. Nowhere, I repeat, nowhere in God's word, unless people want to take the dreams of men or some woman, as the case might be, and make a religion out of it, rather than letting God's word be your word, You're going to end up, you know what's going to happen to the people that do this? They're not watching Zion, so when the false Messiah lands there, every one of them that teach this is going to worship him, leading people astray. Well, let's win a few friends and influence a few people, but let's teach God's word and not worry about popularity contests, all right? Here a little, there a little. Janet from Florida, where in the Bible does it talk about the millennium? Revelation chapter 20, millennium is a word that simply means a thousand years. You're not going to find the word in the manuscripts unless you translate it to that word millennium. It's a thousand years. In the entire book of Ezekiel following, chapter 40 speaks of the millennium. There are more scriptures concerning the millennium in the Old Testament than there are the New. And you can sure get about eight chapters of it real quick, starting with chapter 40, the book of Ezekiel. William from West Virginia, what do you think about the new earth will look like? It's beautiful, absolutely beautiful. There's no storm, nothing to offend. The land is so beautiful, and the growth of the plants are just beyond man's imagination. It's going to be wonderful. Dale from Georgia, please answer this question for me. You said that the Hebrew calendar is not like ours in that it uses Passover as the new year. If the time of the locust army is May through September, is it by our calendar or by the Hebrew calendar? I hope I did not say that Passover begins the new year. I hope I said it begins in the month in which Passover falls, because Passover falls on the 14th, and it's the first that begins the religious new year on the Hebrew calendar. But at the risk of being confusing, there is another beginning of new year on the Hebrew calendar that begins the civil year. But May through September has already been converted, when I say that, from the Hebrew calendar. It makes an interesting study if you intend to go to that depth. Otherwise, other than a few places, it will not help you that much, but it's not that difficult to compare the two calendars and make the translation anyway. May through September is by our months. Janice from Arkansas. I want to go back to that just a moment. God's very kind to us. He used an insect and its various cycles of life, so even though the calendar gets all messed up, in studying nature itself, we know what those months are about what the locust does, okay? He's so good to us. Janice from Arkansas. I have a question that has been bothering me. Could you give me an answer? In the Old Testament, God destroyed the earth with a flood. Why did he replenish the earth to let something happen over again? Please don't think I'm dumb. I don't, dear. I'm going to assume that you're probably realize that there was an earth age before this, and that Satan rebelled and drew a third of God's children away, deceived them. And God had a choice. He could destroy that earth age and a third of his children along with Satan, or he could create a new earth age in which we now live and give the children an opportunity born innocent of woman to decide whether they would follow Satan or him. That's why he did it. He will never flood it again, though. That's his promise. BT from Reno, is it possible that you could have a different type blood after you get saved? Absolutely not. Salvation has nothing to do with your physical body other than you begin to take better care of it, all right? It is your spiritual body, the inner man, that is new. Reese from North Carolina. Will anyone die during the thousand-year millennium, or will everyone live the full 1,000 years? Everyone will live the 1,000 years. We're changed instantly into a new body, spiritual body. We get rid of this old flesh that dies. Unfortunately, there's deaths of souls at the end. That's what the second death is. Donald, California, are the elect only of the living when Antichrist, or will they be drawn from the ones in heaven? The living, but Christ brings an army with him when he comes. Charlie from New Jersey, the scriptures say that heaven and earth shall pass away. I thought heaven was forever. It's only earth ages that pass away. Heaven is forever and earth is forever. That's why scientists can document it's billions of years old. Why? It is. It was just an age that passed away. It's like when every year changes, it's a new year. It was that year that passed away, but a new one came into being. But still same old earth. Gene from Georgia. If someone is not saved when they die, where do they go? To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. The parable concerning Lazarus and the rich man, there is a gulf between those that await judgment lost and those that overcome. Georgie from Oregon, it is taught they are being taught at this time repentance. You have said God is preparing the host to return with Jesus. Where do they cross the chasm, spend the millennium? Well, some of them will be taught. Let's say that someone is there that never had an opportunity to hear a real teacher of God's word. Some one verse, Charlie, maybe they heard, but did they ever actually hear God's word taught? We let God do the judging. Ira from Florida, what do you think of the holy laughter, or also called gift of joy, that churches are getting into? Is this scriptural? I marvel at how many things teachers bring up just to prevent them from teaching God's word. New things, they call it. Okay? I really don't want to say anything about it. I don't talk about other religions, be that as it may. If a person is intelligent, they study our Father's word and let man's traditions go by the wayside. I love you all a great big bunch because you enjoy studying our Father's word more in depth. Most important, he does. He does not want to send strong delusion. The way you avoid it is staying in his word. We're brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we have helped you, it will change your life. Help us keep coming to you. Most of all, stay in his word every day. And his word is a good day. Do you know why? Yeshua, Jesus, is the living word.
Thank you for joining Shepherd's Chapel in today's study of God's Word. If you would like to further your studies with Pastor Murray, write Shepherd's Chapel, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. For a free introductory package, which includes Mark of the Beast audio tape, a monthly newsletter, a complete tape catalog, and a new student tape list, write Shepherd's Chapel, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. Feel free to call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day to request the free introductory package or to leave questions for Pastor Murray to answer on the air. We at Shepherd's Chapel would like to thank you for joining us each Monday through Friday at this same time for Shepherd's Chapel.
Book of Deuteronomy. The law was given as our schoolmaster. Have you been to school on God's word? Certainly one way to go there is to study the book of Deuteronomy. Probably the most exciting thing that Deuteronomy has to offer for you is that